Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you thankful you know that one? Amen. The only true God. Amen. And He is our Father. It's a privilege to know Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Good to be with you here tonight. Amen. We just want to go ahead and get into the scriptures tonight while you're standing. Just ask you to remember Brother Baker in prayer. He's not feeling well today, so of course he's trusting the Lord for his healing. Amen. But we believe that God is our healer no matter what we're going through. Amen. Amen. So he needs a touch in his body. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Amen. We're going to take a little subject here tonight. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Amen. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Amen. We've read that many times, but you know, I believe we could just never read that one enough until it sinks in. Amen. He's blessed you. Amen. You should read that. He has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Amen. Then just like to read one verse here in Luke chapter 15, verse 32. And this is just the just one verse out of the parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15, 32. "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Father, we just are so privileged, Lord, to be able to gather again, Lord, and to call You our Father, Lord, to know You as life, Lord. And we just are so grateful, Father, for You and for Your Word. And Lord, we deserve nothing but death, Lord, but yet Your grace found us, Lord, and has shed abundantly upon us all spiritual blessings, Lord. And we're just grateful tonight, Lord. If nothing else, Lord, we want to express, Lord, how thankful we are to You, Lord, and we honor You. And Lord, we want to honor You by our obedience to Your Word. So I just pray, Lord, that Your Word would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. I pray Your Spirit, Lord, would come and anoint Your Word, Father. Help us, Father, though we be weary in body here tonight, Lord, we know, Lord God, that our soul is hungry for more of You. And Father, we just want to lift up our pastor tonight in prayer. Lord, ask that You would touch his body, Lord. Lord, You are his healer, Lord. You took those stripes for his healing. Lord, we believe it. He's claimed it, and we are agreeing with his testimony, Lord, that he is healed. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Just want to thank those of you that prayed for me as I was traveling this weekend. You know, we did make it up there to Anchorage and back in record time. Amen. So I went up Friday and came back late Sunday night. Got home Monday midday. So it's good to be back. But we had some nice services there over the weekend and just enjoyed the presence of the Lord and the fellowship of the saints there. And actually, kind of as it would happen, I took this exact scripture out of Ephesians 1 for my text in one of the services there, but preached a completely different subject. So tonight we want to speak about accepted in the Beloved. And it says here, to the praise of His glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. Amen. in the beloved. Amen. And that is to his praise, to the praise of the glory of his grace. His grace is not simply grace, it is glorious grace. Amen. And so you've been made accepted in the beloved to praise the glory of his grace. Amen. And that we just want to kind of talk about tonight those what this means and how he was accepted, and so him being accepted means that you are accepted. Amen. And what it means to be accepted. And that word there, beloved, you know, we are accepted in the beloved. And that is actually that word agapo, the word for agape, God's love. Amen. The love of God. Those that have been accepted in God's love. Amen. And that accepted means highly favored. Amen. Or charming or lovely or honored with blessings. Amen. So not just satisfactory, not just good enough, but accepted, welcomed. Amen. Fit to belong. And you know, we've looked at different subjects about the oddball, and Brother Branham preached about the oddball, and part of understanding that you're an oddball means that you do fit somewhere. You just don't fit with the world. Amen. Amen. But you are accepted in the beloved. Amen. You want to know where you fit? That's where you fit. Amen. That's where we belong. And there's something about knowing where you belong. Amen. There's something about belonging. People are wanting to belong to something. You know, people are out there searching for clubs or social groups or things to where they feel comfortable and belong, where they feel like they fit, where they say, I was made for this. This is what I was meant to do. Or you hear that, this is my people, right? This is my tribe. These are my people. Well, we are accepted in the beloved. Amen. That's where we fit in. Amen. And one who has been received with joy, because that's where you are supposed to be. Amen. And as we read here in the one verse of the story of the prodigal son, amen, he belonged in that family. That's where he didn't belong out in the world. He didn't belong out there, you know, with all of his friends that were trying to mooch off of him, amen, that were trying to use his money for their own enjoyment and left him broke and, you know, feeding pigs slop. That's not where he belonged. He belonged with his family. He belonged with his father. And so he says it was meet that we should make merry because he's back where he's supposed to be. Amen. So be glad. He was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. So it's so great to be accepted in the beloved. Amen. Though we feel unworthy, and in fact we are unworthy. The prodigal, he was unworthy. He hadn't done anything. In fact, if you looked at his works, he had done just the opposite of what he should have done to be accepted in the beloved. But we recognize the vileness of our sin in our flesh, and it shows the glory of his grace. Amen. It shows how great his grace is. We are not redeemed by having done anything good in the flesh. Amen. Nothing. Zero. Negative zero. I don't know. Less than zero. Amen. In fact, we worked against the very salvation. Our flesh is enmity with God, the Bible says. So there's no work of the flesh that saved you. There's no work of the flesh that you're going to lean on to get you in a rapture. There's no work of flesh that can sanctify you. There's no work of the flesh that can make you accepted in the beloved. Amen. So we just want to take this little simple subject, polish it up a little bit. Amen. Enjoy this nugget here on a Wednesday night. Amen. That he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, he is our lamb. Amen. And it was through the shed blood of the lamb that we became accepted. And that started at the Old Testament in the garden and continued on through Abraham and all the way through where a lamb, right? An innocent one was sacrificed in the stead of the sinner to make them acceptable to God. Now, in that time, of course, we know it was just a temporary thing, right? They would be accepted for a time, and then they would have to do it over and over again. But we know our Lamb, once and for all, the Bible says, and for all time, for all man, was our Lamb sacrificed for us. But in Exodus, it talks about the Passover, and we want to look at this just for a little bit here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, speaking about the lamb sacrifice, says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Now, it was important. The lamb itself obviously was important because the lamb had to be accepted for the worshiper to be accepted. Amen. Amen. The worshiper could not be accepted if the lamb was not an acceptable sacrifice. So they had to examine it. "Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the morning." Amen? So they took the lamb out, and they had a requirement for that sacrifice. The lamb had to be examined. The lamb had to be perfect. It had to be without blemish. Amen? As perfect as a natural lamb could be. Because the worshiper's life depended on it. In the Exodus, the lamb had to meet the requirement because the death angel was passing through the land. Amen. They were not messing around. Amen. This was not, well, you know, maybe tomorrow, right? Maybe the next service. No, it had to be then. It had to be exact. It had to be precise. Amen. They had to make sure that they knew that they knew that they knew that they had a lamb that was acceptable. And if the lamb was acceptable, then they would be acceptable before God. Amen? So they had to watch it for a time period. They had to look for any blemishes because their very lives depended on it. Amen? And then when they killed the lamb, they had to faithfully take the blood and apply it to the door and the posts. And they had to do exactly what the prophet told them to do. Amen? Exactly what God, through his message, told them to do. That was the message for their day, for their hour. Amen? They weren't under Noah's message. They weren't under Abraham's message. They were still under Abraham's promise, right? But they were under the message of Moses that was coming out in an Exodus. And they had to follow his instructions. They had to do what he told them because God was speaking through his prophet. Amen? They, you know, how funny it would be if they thought, well, you know, Our ancestor Noah, he just built an ark, and that was what God required, and so I'm just going to build an ark. It wouldn't fit. Amen? The death angel would not have passed. Amen? And so they had to do it exactly the way that Moses told them to, and they, I bet they checked and double-checked and rechecked. Is that it? Did we do it right? Did we do what he said? Make sure. Get it right. Read the message for yourself. Amen? Get in there and hear what he said. And do what he said. Amen? Well, you know, brother so-and-so said, well, I don't care about that. What did Moses say? Amen? What did Moses tell us? They needed to know. Amen? It was important. Once that was done, they faithfully obeyed and did what was told them. Then it didn't matter who was in the house. It didn't matter what they had done. They were under the blood by faith. Amen? Didn't matter how bad they had messed up or anything. Didn't matter if they were high-born, low-born, rich, poor. None of that mattered. It was the blood that mattered. It was the blood of a worthy lamb. Amen? If the lamb's blood was accepted, everybody in the house was accepted. But they had to be under that blood. Amen. They couldn't just be sympathizers with the message. They couldn't just say, well, I believe Moses was a prophet. Well, but, you know, what he taught us, well, you know. Come on, right? They had to do what he told them. They had to follow up their testimony of, I believe that is God's message. I believe that is God speaking to now I'm going to do what he said to do. Oh, Moses was just a good man. But, you know, we have other teachers and we have other... Well, if you don't listen to him, you were dead. Amen? And so it is today, but a spiritual death. Amen? They had to get under the blood. They couldn't even just agree with the instructions. Oh, yeah, that's true. Bless God. Oh, yeah, lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All you have to do is get a lamb and not do it. Amen? It was death. Their message preached them the blood. Their message preached them salvation. Amen. So once they were under the blood, the only thing that mattered was the acceptance of the sacrifice. Was the lamb perfect? Was it acceptable to God? And if it was, death could not touch them. No matter how powerful death was, no matter how it afflicted the Egyptians around them, and it did, it killed everything in its path. No matter how fearsome it was, how oppressive, how dark, the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. The power of the blood meant that death couldn't touch them. And there's a death angel passing through the land today, brother, sister, and it's a spiritual death. But we've got to stay under the blood. Amen? We've got to stay with what God has told us. We've got to obey it and apply it in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. So this was carried forward into the law of Moses. And we read about the sacrifice that was established in the law. Leviticus 22:20 says, "But whatsoever hath a blemish, you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you." You see that the offering had to be acceptable. Right. Amen. "And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted, for there shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or scurvy or scab, you shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. You shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut. Neither shall you make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall you offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you." So there is a standard that God set up. Amen? It's a standard that must be met for you to be accepted. For the worshiper to be accepted. Amen? For the one that's offering the sacrifice to have his sins wiped away for a season, or covered over for a season, to be in fellowship with God for a season. Amen? And then also Malachi chapter 1 verse 13 says, said also, "Behold, what a weariness it is, and you have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, and thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the nations." Amen. So, you know, God is like, who are you that you would offer something unworthy to me? Amen. "For I am a great king in the Lord of hosts." Amen. "He has a great name among the nations." He's worthy. Amen. He should be honored. He's worthy of an acceptable sacrifice. Hallelujah. But it was the hearts of untrue worshipers that would bring bring animals for sacrifice that were lame or for sick. Amen. That they didn't believe, that they were lackadaisical about it. They were lukewarm. Amen. They were just, it wasn't important to them. You could tell that he wasn't first place in their life. They weren't putting God first in all things. They were giving him a position of lower priority in their lives. Well, you know, we get around to it. We can offer a sacrifice and, oh, we can just, you know, pull out. Well, let's keep the best animal for ourselves. We got to breed them and they'll sell better. And you can see, you know, what was important to them. Amen. We've got our business, you know, we've got to keep it going on Sunday. So we don't have time for church. We don't have time for this. We don't have time for God. Amen. We have other priorities. We have other things that we esteem greater. And this is the lukewarm attitude that they have. And God said it's a stench. Amen. It's a reproach. Amen. It's not acceptable. And if that sacrifice is not acceptable, then you aren't acceptable either. He did not receive their worship. He did not absolve their sins. Amen. They were not forgiven. Why? Because of their attitude led to the type of sacrifice that they would give. And it wasn't acceptable to God. Amen? But if a sacrifice was made according to this law, it was a beautiful thing, brother, sister. Amen? A person that would, with a true heart, a repentant heart and a humble heart, that would acknowledge that they had sinned before a holy God, and they would do their best, and they would put forward their best effort to bring a perfect sacrifice. They would sacrifice themselves. It would cost them something. Amen. Because it meant so much to them. Because they knew that if they did that, they would be accepted by a holy God. Amen. They would have their sins, their conscience would be clear before God, and they could worship Jehovah. They could have fellowship with Jehovah. Amen. They could receive the blessings of God in their life. Amen. What a blessing it is to be accepted in the Beloved. It puts you in place to receive all the blessings of God. Amen. And the Day of Atonement, they would bring that sacrifice. And they would place their hands on the sacrifice as it was made to connect them to their sacrifice. And so if they brought a sacrifice that was subpar because they knowingly did it, it shows their heart. They identify with it. They are tied to it. That's their condition, subpar, amen? Not willing to give their best to God. And then as long as the sacrifice was accepted, then they were accepted too. Amen. They trusted that. Their lives were tied up in that sacrifice. Amen. But notice, the priest, when they examined that sacrifice to make sure that it was good and that it was perfect and that it was right and that it was acceptable, they didn't give the person a questionnaire. What did you do? What have you done wrong? This isn't Catholic confessional, right? Are you worthy? Are you acceptable? It had nothing to do with that. They looked at the sacrifice. Oh, it's so beautiful. Amen. All the attention was on the sacrifice, and it was examined, and it was combed over and checked. And, you know, they would look under the hair to see, are there blemishes? Examine every part of it. They weren't doing that to the person's life. They weren't examining the worshiper. They were examining the sacrifice. And as soon as the sacrifice was deemed acceptable, the worshiper was acceptable. Oh, it's so beautiful. Amen. So beautiful. Nothing to do with their performance. It was all about the worthiness of the sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11 says this, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. Amen. He became the perfect sacrifice for us. So as long as we receive that sacrifice and apply it in our lives, like in Egypt, by faith. Amen. Receive the new birth. Surrender. Die out, receive that life that was in that blood. Amen. Once and for all, you are hid under that blood. And the death angel passes over you. Hebrews 10:2. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. Speaking of the Old Testament, he says, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. They had to come back and come back and come back every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. If burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst had no pleasure, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written me to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. The power of this blood is offered once and for all. Hallelujah. Amen. And that sacrifice, that lamb was examined. Amen. He was found worthy. In the book of Revelation it said, who is worthy to open the book? And only the lamb was worthy. Amen. He was perfect, without blemish, without sin. Amen? He was completely a perfect lamb. And if he wasn't, then we're lost. Amen? But he was, and we're not lost. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, you are not redeemed by any of these things. Nothing natural, silver or gold or even traditions or things that were passed down. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was manifest for you. Amen. 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 Say, he was manifest for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. Amen. And then from the Patmos vision, he says, Brother Branham said, the serpent on the pole is a type of what Jesus came into the world, into earth to accomplish. He was made flesh in order to take upon himself the judgments of God for sin. The foundation of the altar of sacrifice was solid brass, typifying the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Judgment had already passed upon him when as yet there were no sinners. Think about that. Judgment had already passed upon him before there was ever a sinner. Salvation being entirely of the Lord. Amen. He trod the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God alone. Amen. His vestures were dyed crimson with his own blood. The fiery furnace of the just judgment and wrath of God was his portion. He suffered the just for the unjust. Yes. Truly, thou art worthy, O Lamb of God. For thou hast redeemed us by thine own blood. He was worthy. He is worthy. Amen. He is a perfect sacrifice. And that's the only thing that matters. Amen. Salvation is of Him and Him alone. Not Him plus you. Not Him plus anything that you did. Amen. Your good works don't enter the equation. Your good works don't count in the balance beam at all. As I said in Revelation 5, it tells us no one was worthy. None. Amen? None was worthy. You were not able to save yourself. Hallelujah. So why consider your good works now? Why even consider them? Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. Good works are important. You should do them, right? But it has nothing to do with your relationship to God. The judge isn't looking at you. The judge is looking at your sacrifice. He's not looking at you. Amen? He's looking at your lamb. As long as you're under the blood. As long as you're confessing and by faith. Amen? You're under the blood. The lamb was worthy to take that book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Brown says this in the handwriting on the wall. He says, I've made this statement. If this nation escapes judgment, God will be obligated to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for sinking them and burning them up. For we are just as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah ever was. And if He sunk Sodom and Gomorrah and burned them up because of their sin, and He doesn't deal the same way with us, then He would be unjust and owe them an apology. But God doesn't have to apologize to nobody or nothing. Sin will be judged. It'll be punished. Just as sure as there's a God who can make judgment. God's judgment is holy. God is holy. And therefore His judgments and His works must be just and holy. Because it becomes a holy God for His works and His judgment. So all sin will be judged. Amen. And punished. It must be. You say, well, but my sin is forgiven. But it still has to be punished. Your Savior takes it. He receives it. He receives your punishment. Amen? Every last bit of sin must be dealt with. Amen? To balance the books. It's just that your lamb takes the punishment for you. That's why we don't want to disobey. Amen? That's why we want to obey. That's why we want to do good works. It's not because it has anything to do with our salvation, but it means less punishment for Him. Amen? The righteous judge will make sure that your sin is dealt with. He said in the God who is rich in mercy, He said, you can talk to people sometime on the streets and talk to them about the Lord, and they laugh right in your face. Well, we're supposed to do it anyhow, but listen, there is no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. God has to do the drawing. There has to be a life. All that He hath given me will come to me. So He made a provision for those who wants to be redeemed. He made a provision for those who wants to be healed. And then because that He did this, it makes Him rich in mercy. As He has always been rich in mercy, it must be. If you refuse this, there's nothing left but judgment because sin must be judged. Amen. So judgment is refusing mercy. Right? But I just love how He expresses that He made a way for those that wants to be redeemed. For those that want to be healed, He makes a way. The provision is there for those that want to be healed. Amen? In the seat of discrepancy, He said, friend, when God told Moses in the wilderness, which is a type of Him, to lift up a brass serpent, brass represents sin judged. The brass serpent represents sin already judged. As brass is divine judgment. Like the brazen altar where the sacrifices was laid. And also Elijah looked up and he said the skies was like brass. Divine judgment upon an unbelieving nation that had backslid from God. Brass represents judgment. Divine judgment. And the serpent represented sin already judged. And Jesus was that serpent made sin for us. and took the judgments of God upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Our sin has already been judged. Amen. And then from the first seal, he says, how can a man say that the bride of Christ goes into tribulation? I can't understand it. See, she's took away from tribulation. If the church has been judged, and they have judged themselves and accepted the blood, how can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? He's making the point that your sin's already been judged, and the tribulation is a punishment for unjudged sin. Right? You say there's no such a person. Every born-again believer, true believer, is perfectly, absolutely sinless before God. He's not trusting in his works. In the blood of Jesus, that's his confessions dropped into. The Bible said, he that is born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin. How can you make a man a sinner when the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ is between him and God? That would scatter sin till there be nothing left of it, see? How can that pure blood of Christ ever let a sin pass there? He cannot. Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And how could we even start the thought of being perfect? But Jesus required it. And if Jesus required it, he's got to make a way for it. And he has his own blood. He's made a way for you to be accepted as he is accepted. As much as God has accepted Jesus, you have been accepted. Amen. If he is your sacrifice. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, what a revelation to get, amen, to understand our place, to understand what God has done for us, amen. He said this in the mark of the beast and the seal of God. He says, how do we get into it? By one handshake? No. By one paper? By one denomination? No. But by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, free from judgment. God's done judged that body. Amen. God judged it at Calvary. Amen. It won't have to be judged anymore. He that heareth my word believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life. And there's not two forms of eternal life. Only one has eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh my, says that makes me feel religious. Why? Free from sin. That's right. He that's born of God does not commit sin, cannot sin. The seed of God remains in him. He can't sin. It can't be me under a sin offering all the time and then be a sinner. You cannot. You never seen a sinner saint. You never seen a black white bird or a drunk sober man. No, sir. You're either a sinner or a saint, that's all. And if you're in Christ, there is a blood atonement offering all day long. All day long, crying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Oh, then you can rest assured. Amen, I like that. So beautiful. The Holy Spirit, how it seals us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are told to be perfect because we are part of him. And he is perfect because we are part of his body. And that body was judged and found worthy. Amen. That body sacrifice has already been accepted. And so the believer, the worshiper, once purged, once and for all, is accepted. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to realize as those that are born again what God has done for us. And then, brother, sister, we need to extend that to others. Amen. As I was just praying about this message before service tonight, I just felt the Lord pressing upon me to say that tonight. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus said, that if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. Amen. Amen. It shows that you have not been accepted. Amen. If you are not willing to accept in the beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. What God, if God is willing to forgive someone. And he said, they asked him, the disciples struggled with this. Right? People have struggled with this all along. And he said, how many times should we forgive somebody? They keep messing up, but they keep asking for forgiveness. And Jesus, they said, seven times 70. Just take whatever you think it is and make it exponential. Amen? How dare we not forgive when so much has been forgiven of us? Amen. If someone is accepted in the beloved by God, and we are not accepting that, we are the ones with the problem. Amen? And I'm not talking about a sinner. I'm not talking about somebody who's out in the world or backslid on God. We understand that, right? We're not talking about that. We know when somebody's rebelling against God or rebelling against the Word. But we're talking about somebody who's you know, a real Christian. A real believer. Amen? But yet, not accepted in the beloved. And brother, sister, that's on us. Amen? We've got to, it's important that we make those accepted in the beloved as well. He was accepted, so you are accepted, and all those that are under him are accepted as well. In Hebrews chapter 6, he says this, he says, now listen real close as we read. He said, now, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Amen? Now, we got that this morning, how that we are perfected, absolutely spotless and blameless, not one sin on us. Are you above temptation? Never. Do you sin every day? Yes, sir. Whoa. Are you above temptation? No. Is your brother or your sister above temptation? No. Do you sin every day? Who's he talking about? You? Amen? No. Anybody who hears? Anybody who listens? Do you sin every day? Yes, sir. He didn't even make any qualifications on it. Well, most of the time. No, he just, yes, sir. You do. I don't care who you are. Do you sin every day? Yes, sir. Don't you want Jesus to forgive you? To make you accepted in the beloved? Well, how about your brother or your sister? Amen? Are they above temptation? Do they sin every day? Yes, just like you do. Amen? And if they're putting it under the blood and you're putting it under the blood, you should accept that God has accepted them. Under the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you above temptation? Never. Do you sin every day? Yes, sir. But you see, they... No. What did he say? Take the big log out of your own eye. All right? Look to your own sin. Don't be trying to perfect everyone else. But yet we are perfected because we are in him. Oh, I thought it was my job to perfect everybody. And God could no more judge us than nothing. One that you want to condemn, God is not judging them. Because they have a lamb. But God, no. It's not your job to judge. You are not the judge. He judged Christ. He's already judged us in him. When he judged Christ, he judged me, he judged you, and he can't judge me again because he took my judgment if I've been redeemed. Amen. If someone's under the blood of Christ, you better not judge them. That's why the Bible said, you know, that we should not judge them. Right? Now we judge spirits. We discern spirits. We have, we have to understand that we battle against principalities and powers, but we never judge the spiritual condition in terms of is my brother or my sister saved? That's between them and God. Amen? He judged Christ. He judged me. He judged you. He can't judge me again because he took my judgment if I've been redeemed. You've passed from judgment. Amen. And I got a ticket to show that I've been redeemed, that I've redeemed my watch from the pawn shop. Let somebody try and take it back in the pawn shop once when I got a ticket. I have redeemed it. Amen. Same thing with a child of God. Amen. He gave us the token. The devil tries to take you back. No, I've got a token. No takesies backsies. Amen. You can't have me. I got a ticket. And if the devil would try to put punishment on me, I've got a ticket that shows I've been redeemed. Amen. Yes, sir. No more judgment. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall never come into the judgment. Never come into the judgment. Amen. Except for brothers and sisters that want to condemn them. But has passed from death into life. That's my ticket. And he gave the promise. Amen. So tell me again how your ability to, you know, you're so good at living the rules of the message and regulating your life, that how that makes you accepted in the beloved. How that makes you pass from judgment. Amen? It doesn't. And brother, sister, that should take the weapon out of the enemy's hand. Because all he has to attack you with is your performance, your ability, how you messed up. Amen? I was talking to somebody here recently, nobody in the church, so don't worry about it. That nobody that any of you know. Nobody in the church, but I was talking about I was trying to tell them about forgiveness, and I was trying to tell them about confession and forgiveness, and where somebody would attack somebody else. You did this and you did that, but if you confess it, yes, I did, and I'm sorry. You just take the stick out of their hand; they have no way to attack you anymore. But you did. Yes, I already said. I did it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to. I did it. You're right. Oh. But you. Yes, you're right. Oh. Right? It takes their ability to attack. And this is just in the natural. Right? We're not talking spiritual things here. We're just talking natural human relationships. But Satan tries to attack you about what you've done. You're right, Satan. I messed up. Amen. That's why I needed a Savior. I blew it. Thank God I have a Savior. Good thing God's not looking at that. Amen. Good thing he's not examining my life. He's examining my sacrifice. And my sacrifice was accepted. So I'm accepted in the beloved. And that's my position. That's my place. Who is the beloved? It's the purchase of his blood. Those that he has loved. Those that he has poured his love onto. Those that have come under that sacrifice. That have been made accepted. That is the beloved. And it makes you a part of that. And you can't put somebody else out of it. Amen? And they can't put you out of it. I've been accepted in the beloved because of him.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So brother, sister, Satan can't touch you with the stinger of sin. He can't touch you with death in the soul. Amen. Amen? Of course, he can attack your body. He can attack your mind. He can attack your flesh. But he can't touch your soul. It's already been judged. It's already passed from death into life. He's already lost the battle. Hallelujah. You've already won. You say, I've already won. That's why we sing that song, I've won the victory. Victory is mine. Hallelujah. See, I don't feel very victorious. It doesn't matter how you feel. Amen. You've already been accepted in the Beloved. He can't touch you. Amen. Sin has lost its stinger. Death has lost its stinger. So we want to walk as victors tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you never felt accepted. Maybe, you know, you just never fit in anywhere. Well, praise God. Amen. You fit in the Beloved. Amen. You fit in the body of Christ. Surrender and die out and get under this blood. Get the life of the blood and you're part of the body. Then you belong. You're where you're supposed to be. You're accepted. Amen. I want to read that again, that what accepted means, because, you know, sometimes we just think, it's just acceptable, right? As in it like, here's the threshold and it just barely, right? It's a C grade, right? Not an A, not a B. You got a C, maybe a C+, you're acceptable, right? That's not what this means, right? This is highly favored. Accepted means highly favored, graceful, charming, lovely, honored with blessings. Not just satisfactory. It's an A++++. Amen? He was accepted. He was lovely. He was perfect. He was beyond, met every expectation, the highest standard that God has. And so do you. Because he was accepted for you. Amen. Brother, sister, as the bride, we've got to know that he looks at you that way. Amen. He's not looking at you going, fixer upper, you know, little starter, change the oil, maybe a paint job. Maybe it'll work for a while. Just barely getting by. Right? He's looking at a perfect sacrifice. That means that his bride is perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't lose. I love this. You can't lose because the game is already over. Yeah. The devil's playing a game and he doesn't realize that it's already over. Amen. Game's over. Score is already written down. You know, they published the box scores. Well, it used to be in the newspaper. We'd come out and read it the next day. Oh, so-and-so got so many hits and box scores and stats and everything. Now it's on the internet. Everybody's already checked it. Game's over. But I'm still... Nope. Don't matter. Game's over. Final score. We win, you lose, devil. Amen? It's already done. He was already accepted. So we are accepted. He tried to keep you from it. Amen? But he can't keep a child of God from it. It is their destiny. Didn't we read that right there in Ephesians? Amen? Ephesians chapter 1. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be accepted. Yes, amen. Amen. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. Praise the Lord. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Don't you think we ought to just thank him for it? Amen. Don't you think he's worthy of praise and honor and worship? Amen. Let's stand tonight. Amen. Amen. We should honor Him. We should praise Him. We should give Him every praise, everything that we can give to Him. Amen. But we should also extend that to everyone else. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for what You've done for us. Lord, truly, sometimes, Lord, it's just words fail us, Lord, to express how thankful we are, Lord. Lord, what it means to us, Lord. How our hearts, oh God, it just sings, Lord God, with what You've done for us, Lord. Sometimes we just try so hard, Lord, to be worthy, Lord, and we're not. We could never be worthy. But, Lord, we do want to do our best, and we do want to give You our best, Lord, because not because we're trying to make ourselves acceptable, but, Lord, because we love You, and we want to be pleasing to You, Lord. But I pray You just help us, Lord, to separate that, Father, to understand that we do the things that we're supposed to do because we love You, but that's not what makes us accepted in the Beloved. You are what has made us acceptable, Lord. Your sacrifice at Calvary. How we thank You, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would bless every heart here tonight, Lord. Lord, perhaps there's someone here, someone that's listening in, Lord. Lord, they need to sprinkle a little forgiveness in their life, Lord. I don't know why You put that on my heart, Lord, to say that, but it was so strong. I believe someone somewhere, Lord. Like I said, maybe someone to watch this later, but they have not been forgiving, Lord. They have not been accepting of Your children or someone that, Lord, is Your child, Father. And I pray that You'd help them, Lord. It's like You said, Lord, freely You have received, freely give. Well, we've received salvation. We've received grace. We've received forgiveness. How could we not also bestow grace and forgiveness and just love, oh God, on someone else? Forgive us, Lord, for those times when we haven't done that, Lord, where we haven't had grace for someone else. Maybe we've been short-tempered with them, Lord. Maybe we've lashed out, Father. Forgive us for that, Lord, because You don't do that. You don't treat us that way. You have grace for us, Lord. You have forgiveness. You have long-suffering for us. Help us to be that way, Lord. We want everyone, Lord, that is Your child to know and to feel like they are accepted in the Beloved. We love You and thank You, Father. I pray that You would help each one, Lord. Father, maybe there's someone, Lord, just trying to fit in somewhere else, Lord, wondering why they don't fit in. Well, there's a place where You fit. Amen. It is with the Beloved. I pray, Lord, that You would just bless them, Lord. Lord, that they would turn to You with all their heart, Father. Lord, that they would seek after You, Lord. That they would seek Your face, and Lord, that they would seek Your forgiveness, Lord, Your grace and love and mercy. Lord, that they might find themselves accepted in the Beloved. How we thank You, Father. Bless each one tonight. Again, we just want to lift up our pastor, Lord. Ask You to touch his body. Lord, recover him speedily, Father. Bless him, Lord. Give him rest, Lord, while he's away, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for each one tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. I have waited for this moment to come. I won't let it pass me by. You've been changed tonight. I won't go deliver. Oh, has he delivered you? Hallelujah. I've found his joy. I've found but he gave it anyway.